This is Hacker Public Radio episode 3411 for Monday, the 30th of August 2021. Today's show is entitled Dominion Card Game and is part of the series Tabletop Gaming. It is hosted by Klaatu and is about 28 minutes long and carries a clean flag. The summary is Klaatu talks about the Dominion Card Game.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by Archive.org. Support universal access to all knowledge by heading over to archive.org/donate.
Hey everybody, this is Klaatu, Hacker Public Radio. In this episode, I want to talk about Dominion. Dominion is a game that I first tried at a gaming convention about 3 or 4 years ago and hated it. Could not stand it. Thought it was just the dumbest game because it never really felt like you were playing a game. I sat down and the people who were going to sort of show the game off for me told me to pick some cards, and I picked some cards, and then he told me to pick some more cards, and so I picked some more cards, and some things happened, and then pick some more cards. And you were just like sort of building your deck, and then when you're done, the game was over, and it just seemed really weird. I thought, where's the game part of this game? Well, it turns out, now that I've revisited it with a clearer understanding of how the game works, turns out that Dominion is a deck-building game. In the truest sense, the game is building your deck. You are building a deck of cards from a selection of different cards, and the goal is to end up with a deck of cards that has more victory points in it than your opponents have in theirs. Victory points are earned by you owning land. And the land can be of different kinds, allowing for different expansion sets and so on, or rather ignoring the different expansion sets and so on. It can be, the land can be something like an estate, a duchy, or a province. Duchy, estate, province is order of value, I think. The duchies being worth one victory point, estates being worth three, and then provinces being worth five. I might get some of those terminologies wrong. I can picture the card, but I can't necessarily picture the word labeling what the card is. But it's one, three, and five. Those are the values, the victory point values of those lands. The way that you get those lands is that you pay for them in Dominion money. So the first couple of things that you need in your deck then is money. You need money in your deck so that you can then purchase lands to put into your deck. So you get something like 7 coppers for free in your initial deck. 7 coppers and 3 victory points. It's a pretty good deal just for starting the game. You get 7 monies and 3 victories. Well, it turns out that that's not all that great, but we'll get into that in a moment. So, that means you have 10 cards in your hand, which you then shuffle, and you draw the top 5 cards off of that deck. So now you have a hand of 5 cards. This is your starting hand. And with that starting hand, you can do 2 things. That's the rules of the game. The base rules of Dominion are that you can take 1 action and 1 buy. B-U-Y. You can purchase and buy something. That's the base rules of the game. So if nothing else happens in the game, it'll just be you and an opponent or a group of opponents doing some action and then doing a purchase. And the purchase, you have money in your hand with which you can purchase things. So if you drew a hand of 5 copper right off the top of the deck, then you could spend 5 copper on more cards to put into your deck. Like I say, the game here is building a deck. So throughout the game, your goal is always, pretty much, to get more stuff in your deck. What you put in your deck is where the strategy happens. Because, of course, you could just spend 5 copper on buying an estate. And you could do that several times over the course of the game. And then you would end the game. You would have all the estates. The game would eventually end because there's no more estates to purchase or something like that. Now, the problem with that strategy would be that, you know, okay, you got lucky when you drew your first hand of 5 cards. You got 5 copper. That's a good hand. That's a good starting hand. But what about the next hand? Well, we already know what that's going to contain because we know what the deck consisted of. It had 7 copper and 3 estates. No, 3 duchies. 3 victory points. So that means your next hand, you've discarded one. You discarded 5 coppers. Your next hand is going to have 2 coppers in it. That's not enough to buy anything. So that's one turn that you've now wasted because you don't have enough money in your hand to really do anything. Those victory points are useless during the game. So you can purchase another copper for free. Coppers actually cost like zero monies. You can just get that for free. So you could use your buy action to get another copper, and then you have 3 coppers. And maybe you could get something for 3 coppers, but it's sort of diminishing returns if you're just going to buy more copper and more copper and more copper and victory points. You just start to clutter up your hand with stuff that you just don't have a whole lot of useful cards. And even with, like, if your maximum hand size is 5 and you can only have 5 coppers, you have coppers, so the maximum money you're ever going to have in a hand is 5 coppers. Well, that'll never be enough to purchase the really good things, like a province, which I think is 8 monies. So that's not going to go very far. So eventually you quickly learn that the strategy here is to maximize the value of each of your hands. And so when you draw a hand of cards, you want to ensure that there's a high probability that you're going to draw some high value money cards. So there's not just copper, there's also silver and gold. Silvers are worth something like, let's say, 4 monies, maybe? No, 3 monies. Or maybe 4. 3 or 4 monies. And then gold is worth 6 monies. So that's where the really good stuff comes from. But in order to get that gold, you have to purchase it. You have to pay Dominion money for it. So your strategy becomes to convert your copper, to buy silver with your copper, so that the next hand that you purchase, that you draw, will maybe contain, 2 coppers, but also a silver. And, well, that's practically 6 monies right there. Might be 5. I forget how much silvers are worth for whatever reason. But, you're maximizing the value of your hand. And then you can keep purchasing up. You can purchase gold. You can purchase more gold, and then more gold. And the next thing you know, your hands, when you're drawing your hands, you're getting 2 and 3 golds in your hand at a time, giving you 9, 12, 15 purchasing points. That's a valuable hand, and you can get valuable stuff for that much Dominion money. So that's just kind of the purchasing aspect of it. There's another aspect, which is hacking the rules so that instead of only getting 1 action or 1 buy, you're getting more than 1 action, more than 1 buy action. So the cards that you are using, the cards that you have to choose from to build up your deck during the game are randomized. I mean, you don't have to randomize them if you have a set of cards that you prefer to play with, but quite a lot of cards come with the base set of Dominion. And the idea is that you randomize the assortment that you're going to use. So you have different piles of cards, and each turn you have the option to make a purchase. So sometimes you'll have two, sometimes you'll have three, sometimes you'll have four, five monies. And you can purchase a card with that in-game money. And sometimes those cards grant you special abilities. Well, usually those cards grant you special abilities that aren't written in the base rules. Remember, the base rules is take one action, take one buy. That's it. That's what you can do. So these cards that you can purchase with in-game money grant you special abilities. For instance, the village card. Village card grants you the ability. I'm kind of making things. I mean, there's definitely a village card. I'm forgetting the specific abilities of that card. But let's say that it's a village card, and let's say that it does something like it gives you one more action. It allows you to draw one more card during your turn, and it gives you two monies for that turn. So now you've purchased this card, and because of this card, you now can take an extra action during your turn. You can draw another card as well, so that's nice. And you get two floating monies, not tied to a card at all, that you can then add to your total purchase. Equity, I guess, or assets, whatever. So that's nice. And then you can kind of imagine what would happen if you got two villages, or two festivals, whatever it is. Two villages, let's say. Then you've got one action and one card and two monies. So you can play that card, but now you've got another action from that card. So you can now play another village and get another action, another card, and two more gold. So just from playing these two cards, you've chained these two cards together. You've gotten four money for nothing, for just during a turn. And you get to add that four monies to whatever coins you happened to draw in your hand for that turn. There are other cards that do other things, like I think it's the marketplace, maybe, allows you to take an extra action and an extra buy. So now you can leverage that kind of card such that you're building up the money in your hand, but instead of only being able to purchase one thing with that money, you can purchase two things with that money. That means that if you do accidentally amass 16 money for one turn, and you're looking at the table and you're realizing, well, there's nothing here worth 16 money. I've got too much money and not enough to spend it on. Well, if you have a market card, you can play that, and that'll give you, or whatever it is, let's say it's a market card. You can play that, and it'll give you two separate buy actions, buy phases. And then you could split that 16 money into two eights, or into 1 5 and 1 3, or into 2 fives, or whatever you see on the table that is within 16 money, you can purchase two of those things. And that comes in really handy sometimes. Just imagine all the variations, right? I mean, there's cards that do other things. Like, there's a card that lets you discard the clutter from your hand and then redraw to replace them. That's the seller card. I know that one. That's a useful card, because now you look at your hand, you've got two lousy copper, and maybe you have three lousy copper and then two victory points. That's not a good hand. That's not a fun hand. So discard those two victory points, and let's gamble a little bit, and discard one of those coppers in hopes of drawing something better. So now you got two coppers. Well, draw back up to five, and let's say on a good day, you buy You draw two silver and a gold. Well, now you got 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 monies to spend on something. That'll get you a province. So that's five victory points right there, because provinces are worth 5 or something like that. So in other words, you can kind of split things off, double up, rearrange turns and purchases, and sort of maximize what you're putting into your deck. The cost here, or the drawback, or the danger here, is that the more you put into your deck, the more random your deck becomes. Or potentially, you could put a bunch of the same cards into your deck so that you essentially always know what you're getting. But in practice, because there are certain things that you might want to structure your deck around, like, okay, well, I need more actions so that I can maximize my floating money. And if I get all that money, I'm going to need another buy phase. So you do start to sort of build up your deck with different cards. And the more random it becomes, and then the more money you earn, the less valuable, like, the copper pieces are. Because now they're just lousy one money cards. And you're living in a world of three money, you know, two and three monies, or whatever it is. And so you start to things start to lose their value in sort of the sense of immediacy. And even victory points, well, from the start, they're valueless. I mean, they're very valuable once the end of the game occurs. But during the game, they're just clutter. They are taking up space in your hand that could be occupied by valuable money cards. And so that's the strategy that you have to sort of consider. You have to figure that out as you're building your deck. So the cool thing about Dominion, I think, is that, well, I mean, it's a really, really fun game, first of all. You can build several kinds of engines, as it were, within Dominion. You can figure out what the correct combination of cards is given the card selection on the table for that game, which is different than the card selection in the game before, and it'll be different from the one in the game the next game that you play, because it's, you randomize the card selection. And so you figure out these engines, and sometimes you'll get the cards that you really sort of are familiar with and like, and they have all the things that you want. They have all the extra actions and all the draw new cards and all the buy, extra buy phases. And other times you won't get those. You'll get a selection of cards that give you bunches of actions, but only one buy phase. And so you have to kind of rework your maybe default strategy and think, well, in this game, I never want to have more than exactly the amount of money that I have, because I'll never be able to spend more than that, because I can only make one purchase every turn. And then in other games, you'll have an embarrassment of purchases. You'll be able to make as many buy actions as you want. It won't matter to you, but maybe you'll have something else that's missing. Who knows? So that's sort of the strategy. That's the variations that you're going to be dealing with in Dominion, and it's a lot of fun. And I've seen people develop sort of engines that force other players to draw cards. And so the idea there is that you're just going to keep, you know, you're forcing your other players to clutter up their hand with stuff that they can't use. They know they can't use it. They don't want them, but you're forcing them to draw more cards. Or engines that force people to discard cards. And then you're starving them, right? So your opponents might have a great hand, but then you play this militia card and forcing them to draw down, you know, to discard two cards, and suddenly they've got a much less great hand. And so on. So there are lots of avenues to success. There are lots of different ways to play the game. There are different ways to enjoy the game, too. I mean, everyone likes to win, but not everyone has the same win condition. So I mean, I've definitely played games of Dominion where I'm not prioritizing the publicly recognized definition of winning Dominion. And instead, I'm curious as to whether I can successfully build a strategy or an engine around this, you know, the artisan card. Can it be done? What happens if we do that? Or what happens if we really, really maximize the use of the sentry card? How does that affect the deck? So there's a lot of just sort of, I guess, exploration of components in Dominion that makes it enjoyable in a way that maybe doesn't, you might not expect at first. The gameplay itself is really clever, I think, because it has a bunch of constraints on top of it that other games have to handle in a different way. Dominion does it by saying, well, you can only draw 5 cards at the beginning of your turn, and that's all you get. You only get one purchase action. You only get one purchase phase. You only get one action, and then it lets you break all of those rules. But there's always a cost to that, and so on. So, you know, the way that, for instance, Magic the Gathering limits your abilities during a turn is essentially through the mana mechanic, and you can only play one land per turn, and so you have to build up a mana base before you can start doing more powerful, the most powerful actions you've built into your deck, and you also don't know when those things are going to happen, so the deck is kind of, the randomness of your deck is a component that you have to account for, and sometimes you're going to draw that 9 mana creature that you at the wrong time. You'll draw that early in the game, and you'll never be able to play that because by the time you get 9 mana, that card's long gone. Now you might have built your deck with some recursion and so on, but generally speaking, you know, that can happen. Whereas in Dominion, it's a different mechanic. It's a different sensibility because you know in Dominion that your deck is just going to keep cycling around. So you know that if you have that one card in your hand that you really, really want to come up, it'll come back up. You just keep cycling your deck, and so it will definitely appear again. Whether it will appear in conjunction with another card that you want to use it with, well, you just have to buy more of those cards and try to increase the probability of you drawing those cards together then. Does that go well with your overall strategy? Maybe, maybe not. So it's a really, really clever way of pacing in Dominion that I really admire. I think it's quite cleverly done. It can be frustrating, it can be rewarding, it can be all those different things. And Dominion is often cited as sort of the flat rate Magic the Gathering game, which always used to confuse me because I thought, well, it's nothing at all like Magic the Gathering, except that it's a deck building game. But now that I know how to play it, I understand a lot more of why people would say that it kind of, I guess, scratches this, maybe not the same itch, but a similar itch as Magic the Gathering, because it does have that deck building. You know what's in your deck. You're designing your deck to have synergy, and you're ideally leveraging the cards that you've put into your deck, to construct these little in-game engines that produce value for you, whether that value is more turns or more purchases or more money. It just kind of depends on what you're building. So Dominion, it is a really cool game. It comes as a base set for probably, I don't know, let's say $50, $80 New Zealand dollars. It's got a bunch of cards. It's got lots of different kinds of actions. So there's actions where you can look at cards in your deck and then replace them in any order. There's actions to draw new cards. There's actions to put a -1 victory point into your opponent's deck. There's actions to force people to discard cards and so on. So there's a lot of different sort of abilities, and so that gives you a lot of variety to work with. And that's just the base set. There are lots and lots of expansions with different kinds of cards. So there are expansion sets with, you know, with different themes. So intrigue, you might have, I don't know, let's say a thief mechanic where you get to look at the top card of your top couple of cards of your opponent's deck, and if it's money, you get to steal the money or something like that. I think that is a card, and I think it is in the base deck, but you get the idea. There's more cards, more abilities, more ways to break the rules, and lots and lots of different, like probably 10 expansion decks. So if you get bored of your base deck, you can always expand and try new cards and try new strategies. It's a great two-player game. It's a great four-player game. Those are the two configurations that I've played the game in, and I highly recommend it. It's a lot of fun. There's probably a whole other episode talking about sort of the way that Dominion presents itself. I think that's an interesting study. Maybe too critical for an episode. I'll have to think about how to sort of maybe talk about that in a constructive way. But yeah, Dominion, it's a lot of fun. It's genuinely a lot of fun. I highly recommend it. If you've been if you are intrigued by the idea of either deck building or sort of using the components of a game to sort of build your own mini games within the game, then I think Dominion could be an interesting thing for you. So I do recommend it. I think it's a lot of fun. If you've never played it and you just kind of want to try it, you can go to, I think, dominion.game or dominion.games, plural. I'll have to put that in the show notes either way. But there's a free-to-play sort of base set online that you can play. You can play against real people. You can play against bots. It's a lot of fun. So if you don't have a physical set yet, or you're not sure you want to invest in the physical set, you can try it out online. But I do recommend, I recommend both, but I've got the physical set now, and I was borrowing a physical set from some friends and just liked it so much that I went out and purchased the physical set, because it's well worth the investment. A lot of fun. So that's it. That's Dominion. Thanks for listening to this episode of Hacker Public Radio. I'll talk to you next time.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club, and is part of the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license.